You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. What is the most appropriate way to pay for our criminal courts in Michigan? That's the essential question before the Michigan Trial Court Funding Commission. How much of the cost of administering justice should be paid for by the people who use the courts, such as those who are ticketed or arrested? And how much of the financial burden should fall to all of us, no matter if we'll never see the inside of a courtroom ourselves? At its meeting later this week, this commission will review just what happened in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014 as an example of the potential negative consequences of a profit-motivated justice system, a system that is not much different than our own in Michigan. With us now is Tom Boyd. He's chair of the Michigan Trial Court Funding Commission and a judge with the 55th District Court in Ingham County. Judge Boyd, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So this commission was created in response to a 2014 Michigan Supreme Court case, People versus Cunningham. Remind us again, what did the court rule in that case?
In June of 2014, the Supreme Court of Michigan ruled in People versus Cunningham that there's no law that allows a court to charge a criminal defendant for the cost of the day-to-day operation of the court. Now, the reason that's significant is it's what the courts have been doing for as long as anybody can remember. Now, as I've noted on the show before, in 1962, the last time Michigan had a constitutional convention, that convention specifically tried to keep money out of influencing decisions in court, and they changed the way that the municipal courts work and created the district courts. But what Cunningham said in 2014 is there's still not authority to fund the courts this way. It's been allowed to develop by habit without any legal authority. I know it sounds strange that the way we operate courts is without legal authority, but that's really the corrupting nature of money in the system.
And so what happened as a result of that ruling?
Well, you know, as soon as the court said that you can't fund, as soon as the Supreme Court said you can't fund trial courts through court costs, the people who fund trial courts, like county commissioners and city councils, I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. They freaked out. You know, in my work, I see people who have addictions to substances, and they look a certain way. And honestly, the county's lobbyists looked a lot that way. When you look in the legislature, they really need this money. And so the court said to the legislature, this is a simple legislative fix. You should just give the trial courts the authority to fund themselves through their work. And the legislature set out doing that. Now, the District Court Judges Association, of which I'm a member, and some other organizations stood in the way and said, now, wait a minute, let's think about this. Is this the right thing to do? And in the end, what we negotiated was that there would be a period of time where the counties and cities would be allowed to continue to fund courts by charging costs to defendants, but that would be limited. And during that limited period of time, we would have a review. We would think about it thoughtfully. And the Trial Court Funding Commission is an indirect result of that process.
So how widely do fines and fees vary from court to court and county to county in Michigan? Could you give us any examples?
Yeah, you know, take, for instance, impeding traffic. Impeding traffic literally means that you're in the way. You know, that your car is in the way of other cars. You're impeding the normal flow of traffic. And the State Court Administrative Office, which is the constitutionally created state administrative arm of the Michigan Supreme Court, they say that it should cost between $93 and $111 to process that type of a case. So if we wanted to recoup the money for an impeding traffic, our fine and cost and everything would be about somewhere in that range, $93 to $111. Now, in reality, I've done studies of these cases in mid-Michigan and in Kent County, and nobody's within that range. And sometimes these tickets are as high as $225. So it really depends on what it is that the local community is trying to do with their court. And a lot of the time, especially at the district or municipal court level, what they're trying to do is to pay for all of the court operations. They're trying to generate revenue neutral or maybe even make a profit.
So is there a standard formula or no?
The state court administrative number is a guideline. It's not a mandate.
Okay.
The law in this area, and I think one of the big things the Trial Court Funding Commission is looking at is what is today and what ought to be in the future. And specifically, the legislation creating the commission asks us to review and recommend changes in the trial court funding system and to review and recommend changes in the methods by which courts impose and allocate fees and costs. So these are the kind of things that we're doing.
Judge Budd, what have been the consequences, the real on-the-ground consequences of this inconsistent, somewhat arbitrary system for Michigan residents?
Well, let me put that into two categories. First of all, the people caught up in the system lose their driving privileges, end up getting in more trouble by driving to work without a license. Now they have a criminal charge, driving while license suspended, and it just becomes a snowball effect. And we've talked a lot about the driver's responsibility fee on the program, and you know, luckily the legislature's seen the wisdom of finally phasing that out, and so we can try and get people their driving privileges back. But by some accounts, as many as 25% of the people in the state are driving without a license, and that is a indirect consequence of the profit-motivated justice system that we've allowed to be created. You know, which really brings us to the second point, which is there's a general disaffection from government. Now, this is not news.
No.
Everybody who listens to your program or pays attention to the news knows that we're at a situation where the general public feels disaffected from government, that government isn't of the people, by the people, that we're not really trying to work together to solve common problems, that it's us versus them and on and on. So just earlier this month, on the 4th of April, the Court of Appeals of Michigan decided a case named People versus Cameron. And in that case, the Court of Appeals declared the ability to assess this cost, which is what we got from the legislature in 2014, as disproportionate. Because what they said was that the court system confers benefit to the general public, justice, fairness, order, not the particular person on whom the cost is imposed. So the question becomes, who does the court benefit? And the way I look at it is the drunk driver really the only person that benefits from his or her arrest? Mm. It just seems to me to be a no-brainer that we all benefit from the drunk driver being taken off the road and his or her rehabilitation so that they don't do that again. I know as a parent of now young adults, but they used to be young drivers, that I don't want them to meet a drunk driver in the middle of the night. And by law enforcement, arresting drunk drivers in courts, handling those cases in a way that stops recidivism, it protects myself and my young drivers. It's not something that only benefits the person who's standing before the court. So that disproportionate penalty or that disproportionate tax on the defendant is really what was going on in Ferguson, Missouri.
Let's talk about that. Why did you decide that what happened in 2014 in Ferguson, Missouri needed to be part of the commission's review?
The fines and costs system in Missouri is very similar to that we use in Michigan. In that, the local community tasks its courts, its judges, to raise money to fund themselves. You know, in opposing the bill in 2014 to allow the courts to assess costs to defendants, I said to the legislative committee, I said, now, if your daughter were at Michigan State and she wandered across Hagedorn Road into my jurisdiction and she got an MIP ticket and she came home and said, Mom, Dad, I didn't do it. I wasn't drinking and I didn't have any alcohol in my possession. Do you really want in the back of my mind to be thinking, you know, if she's not guilty, I don't get $300? It isn't the way that the process should work. We should be detached. And as it is now, district court judges like myself, we're responsible for bringing in enough revenue to make the operation run. So if our court doesn't collect enough money, maybe they're going to lay somebody off. Maybe it makes me harder to do my job. Maybe it makes it more likely that I'm going to get an opponent in the next election. These are all incredibly inappropriate considerations that no judge should have to have in their mind. It's one of the things the Constitution in 1962-63 intended to fix. Hmm. But here we are, 2018, and we're still worried about it. In Ferguson, Missouri, we all know that young Michael Brown was killed. And what we saw then was an explosion of sentiment, an explosion of feeling, unrest in the streets.
That went for days.
And when the Department of Justice went in afterwards and reviewed what happened, they said the death of the young man was only the match that hit a gasoline-soaked bale of hay. And the gasoline-soaked bale of hay was the policing system and the court system. The court system just generated revenue to run the city, and they did it through fines and fees and allocations with the police. So the court, in partnership with the police, had created this major disaffection with the community. So we're back to disaffection. How do we fund the courts? How do we fund a justice system? Is this justice system primarily motivated by enhancing public safety or primarily motivated by revenue generation? These are the questions the trial court funding commission is asking, and that's why Ferguson, Missouri is a perfect example to look at.
Judge Boyd, fundamentally, what is problematic with requiring people who break the law and end up in a Michigan courtroom to pay a so-called user fee, if you will, or bear some of the burden of funding the administration of their own justice? That seems to make sense, no?
No, that makes perfect sense. As a matter of fact, I assess fines and costs every day. Since 1835, the Michigan Constitution has said all penal fines go to the library. Why did they do that? And every constitution since. They did that so that the money assessed from a defendant doesn't corrupt the justice system. So it's not about whether or not the defendant should pay. They should, and they do. The question is whether or not the judge should have to meet a budget the same way the butcher or the baker does. That's the corrupting link. Absolutely. People who commit crime in our society, a financial penalty is really the biggest thing that we use these days. So it is not about whether they should pay. They should. The question is about how we fund our courts, not the penalty to the defendant.
The commission must file its final report by the end of September of 2019?
Yes, ma'am.
Then what?
Well, you know, honestly, what we've been focused on as a commission, we were created right before Thanksgiving. We met for the first time in December as the statute required. Our motivating principle has been, it's actually a quote from Albert Einstein, and that is, if I had 20 days to solve a problem, I would spend 19 days defining that problem. So we're still very much in the process of defining that problem. Eventually, we'll make recommendations because that's what the statute asks us to do. But honestly, I couldn't say today what those recommendations might be because we're still very involved in defining the problem and looking at worst-case scenarios like Ferguson, Missouri is a part of defining the problem in Michigan.
Judge Tom Boyd is chair of the Michigan Trial Court Funding Commission as well as chief judge of the 55th District Court in Ingham County. Judge Boyd, thank you so much for your time.
It was my pleasure.